everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine LaRoche. Our number here is 508-222-1320. Oh my God, I can't wait to talk to Jim Corbin at 735 to get us an update on the weather. It was 26 degrees in Attleboro at, well, I guess it was around 535 when I got up this morning. On the board today, I'd like to welcome Mike Catanzaro. Good morning, Mike. How are you today?
Good morning. At least it's not snowing.
Yeah, but we got to find out if we are getting any snow later in the week.
No, I'm cool. I'm done with snow. I'm ready for summer.
You're ready for summer.
Yeah, I'm done.
We got to find out how many more days to spring, because I always like to do that countdown, you know, to spring.
I think it's like, what, something below 150 days or something.
All
like
right,
that.
I'll take it. That's really great. You know, I was reading in Massachusetts, the state legislators were trying to figure out maybe they will vote to not change the clocks back and forth, to just leave it all at one. And a lot of some of the states are doing that, but Massachusetts, can you imagine?
I got a question about that. Now, let's say if they do vote to do that. So that means Rhode Island's going to be on Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Then you go over the border to Massachusetts, it'll be a different time zone.
It would be.
So that would really mess things up.
It really would be. And I don't think that'll happen unless it goes national.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
everybody
saying?
Does it.
But that's true, because if you live in Mass and you work in Rhode Island, it's like, what do you do? So
that would be really confusing.
But that just struck me funny. It's like, how could that possibly be? What legislator had more time, instead of looking at the real serious issues, you know, to propose such a bill? But there's been other bills that I'll have to do some more investigating on that, because there's got to be more stupid bills that have been introduced over the years.
Like, think of something more important, like minimum wage or something like that.
Yes. I actually, on 2020 last night, they did a tremendous job. For a year and a half, Diane Sawyer followed people from coast to coast in all economic income levels. And there was one guy that was had to travel like 4 hours to get to his job, and 4 hours back every day to support his family. There was one guy that was, and by bicycle, he had to take a bike to a bus. It took 8 buses to get to work every day. It was amazing. And it was like, and then they talked to people that were affluent, and they said, there is no middle class. I mean, what would you say is a middle class person? And they said, well, if you're, like, back in the day, back in the, like, the 60s and 70s, it was like you could afford a home. A home was like $119,000, say. Mm-hmm. I know when we came up from Maryland, we bought our huge 4-bedroom ranch with a 2-fireplace for $77,000 in Attleboro Falls. You know, it's selling today at $400,000+. But back then, you could afford. People are like getting eliminated out of the middle class. It doesn't exist. It's so hard to struggle. And even people that were making 6 figures, all of them, they said, had to walk away from their homes. They just couldn't make ends meet. And because the price of housing, the price of food, the price of everything has gone up so much that the average person can't afford a home anymore.
That combined with people haven't gotten raises, people have stagnant incomes, and even going grocery shopping, it's like it takes up half your paycheck.
Exactly, yeah. So I mean, her point, Diane Sawyer's point, was great. You know, right on. You know, she went to the Economist and said, well, how can we do this? What can change, you know? And it's just what you said. Employees are getting shafted, pardon the French, because employers now are doing contracts. They're doing contractor work, so they don't have to pay benefits. They don't have to pay overtime, and they don't have to pay for holidays. So she went to Silicon Valley, and she brought it to the attention of, like, eBay, Facebook, and others out there, right? Since that show, she said, she came back on, and she said, I'm happy to tell you that Facebook, eBay, and others out there in Silicon Valley are getting all contractors pay raises, paid vacation, and 10 days sick time. So that was just really one of the things that they were implementing. And that's a start, you know. Like this poor guy that had, like, his job, that he was bicycling, getting a bus, and I'm distracted here because Tony Viveris is in the studio here trying to figure out what mic to use. Hi, Mike.
No, I'm
Tony. Yes, I know, Tony. Are you on?
I can't hear you.
There you go.
But I'm on.
You can't.
Good morning.
Okay, good morning.
Does the mic work?
Yes.
No, does that mic work?
We'll fix it when we go to break, though.
Oh, okay.
We'll get you set up.
No,
it's so
I'm
good.
Talking about Mike.
Mike is mic'd up.
Okay, yeah. Mike is mic'd up.
I'm working.
Who's on first, guys? I'm having a serious conversation about our economy,
I'm
Tony.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I mean, Diane Sawyer was saying that she had traveled a year and a half trying to get a pulse of America and the working class. And it just seems we can never get ahead, and that's their frustration. 90% of the people she interviewed are living paycheck to paycheck, or they only have like $50 a month extra after they pay utilities and home and food. And, you know, they have children, so, you know, you go to the dentist or you have an unexpected expense, and it blows your whole budget. You know, fast forward, we're all going to retire someday, but with what?
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I have a friend of mine that works in the, I'm not going to name the name of the place, but he works in a fast food type sandwich place.
Right.
And he's a store manager, and I thought he was doing well. And one day he disclosed to me, because we were just talking, and he says, I only make $9.36 to run the store. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Are you serious? I went like that to him. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, well, excuse me. Well, that's the minimum wage in Rhode Island, and they're looking to raise that to $10.50 an hour. Massachusetts is $11 an hour. But even still, that's not enough. I mean,
right.
It's a step in the right direction, but it's not enough. I do, I'm a constable, so I do evictions.
Oh.
And I see it firsthand that people are struggling to put food on the table, oil in the tank, to keep their electricity, to keep medicine with their kids. You know, and as you said, Elaine, they're going from paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, years ago, and I tell this story a million times, when I was young and in high school, a lot of the guys quit school and went to work in the factories. But back then,
it was different.
They were able to buy a house. The wife would stay home. They would have large families. They didn't live an extremely rich lifestyle, but it was a modest lifestyle, and they're able to get by, and these are good people. Today you can't do that.
Mm. No.
And housing has gone up, automobiles have gone up, and I know I hear the same old baloney that when the proposal of the minimum wage goes up, oh, well, prices are going to go up at that place. But the people, and especially the corporations, they're multimillionaires. When they take a raise, of course the price goes up. So why shouldn't a little guy have something to live for, you know?
Right, right. And that was the point, I think, Diane Sawyer's conversation with the average American person. Mm. It's like there's such a wide gap of wealth. Mm. You know, the wealthy are getting...
wealthier.
You know, they are just getting... no, they're getting just so much more
right.
wealth. Every year they're getting so much more money, millions of dollars more, and struggling... economy, 90% of us are just struggling to get by or making ends meet and doing okay. And then there's so many more families. I mean, it just takes a catastrophe of some sort. Like one family had to leave their house because they were doing okay with just $50 left a month, but then their sewer backed up.
Right.
And it cost thousands of dollars to put in a new sewer, and they couldn't afford that extra, and they had to leave that house that they put so much heart and soul into. It was heartbreaking,
And you know, and the result of that is why next Monday you're going to see a change in presidents. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump, I think, was elected on because of people that are upset with government, and they're not doing anything for them, that they reached out and grabbed Donald Trump, non-politician, and here he is in the White House.
Right.
He may be the wrong person for them. He may not be. But the fact of the matter is, I think that's one of the main reasons why he is where he is today.
Mm. Well, it certainly will be a very interesting president coming in, that's for sure. It's going to be a very interesting 4 years. I just hope that...
But you would think people in management would get paid more than the average employee. When I heard that he was making minimum wage, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, well, there was one person on air that he worked for McDonald's I think 3 days a week, and another 3 days he was working at Burger King. There was a firefighter that was working three jobs. Imagine that. He was a firefighter, a paramedic, and then he did some volunteer work someplace else to get some money to afford these three kids that he's trying to raise with his wife, and his wife is staying home, and she's crying and saying, you know, he works so hard, you know, to provide for us. You know, they want the American dream, and that's what it is. The American dream is no longer attainable, and that was the saddest thing that came from this whole interview. I mean, I stayed up late. Generally, I get to bed early on Fridays because I get up so early to write the show, but it was captivating, and I really, really wanted to have an intelligent conversation with you all this morning about it. I mean, it is... You know that phrase, if you work hard, you get ahead. And that used to be true. And now it's like we're all working so hard, and some of us are working two jobs, and it's like we still can't seem to get ahead. And the economics, I mean, I don't know. Hopefully this president will look at this and say, you know what, things have got to change. And my billionaire, you know, friends have to look at this and say, let's fix the economy so the poor people can get affordable housing. And that was the whole thing too. They wanted to give incentives to builders to have, you know, like reasonable houses so people could afford homes again.
Well, here's something that a politician or a president could do to help people: lower the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
People are too taxed. There's too much oppression on the taxes. Enough is enough.
Right. Well, they were talking about that, too, and one billionaire said that that's not going to happen. Or we should give them some tax credit. But then the other folks jumped on them and said, well, that's one way, but to immediately relieve the stress of a job, raise the rates, you know, give the employee more benefits. Because, and that was another thing, when you get a raise, your premiums go up, your insurance every year. I know mine does, you know. So if I get like a 6% raise and my insurance goes up 10%, you can't, you know, that's what it is. It's insane. So they were pointing these things out of why we all can't seem to be getting ahead. And it was a very interesting, intelligent conversation that I really had not even thought about, but it does make perfect sense. Listen, folks, we got to take a quick break. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. I'd love to have you join in the conversation on the flip side of our break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Joyful Paintings, The Art of Bob Ross by Nicole Bonneau will be on view from February 15th through 23rd at the Attleboro Arts Museum. Nicole Bonneau has challenged herself to recreate the 403 canvases that artist Bob Ross brought to life during his PBS show, The Joy of Painting. Joyful Paintings is a pop-up exhibit of 30 of Bonneau's Bob Ross-inspired paintings. There will be an opening reception for this exhibit on Friday, February 17th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The reception is free and open to all. Reservations are requested but not required. To reserve a spot, email office@attleboroartsmuseum.org.
The Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks has been part of the Attleboro area since 1906. They have always been involved in community service and charitable fundraising, giving back to our veterans, supporting our seniors, and providing youth enrichment opportunities, such as soccer and hoop shoots, fishing derbies, and dictionary projects, while also providing academic scholarships. The Elks are over 800 strong locally, and their members are their greatest asset. To learn more, you can go to attleboroelks.org. Remember, Elks care, Elks share.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve! It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
AACS 15 is your home for Attleboro High School sports. This week, we'll be playing our first Attleboro hockey game of the season. The Attleboro Bombardiers battle the Clockers of Ashland High School at the brand new ice rink at the New England Sports Village. You can watch the game on AACS Channel 15 or in high definition on AACS.com, the AACS Roku app, or the AACS mobile app.
Listening to a little George Michael, I figured we would pay tribute to him a little bit, and then towards the end of the show, after Jim Corbin, we'll come back and we'll pay certain tribute to an outstanding individual who's no longer with us, Martin Luther King, which is the holidays is Monday, and we have a lot of different activities that are coming out and about there, too. But in studio, I have Tony Viveras, and I asked him to come on and talk to us a little bit about what's going on in the area. So, good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Elaine. How are you?
I'm great. I see that you're having a delicious cup of coffee from your commercial coffee maker.
Yes, at home.
At home.
Yeah, where's your coffee?
Yeah.
Oh, usually you...
Never mind. Oh, man. Shot through the heart.
You know,
too.
speaking of coffee, I see there's a new blend coming out. Jack Daniels got a coffee bean. But there's no alcohol in it. So why bother?
Right. I mean, jeez, if you're going to have...
Yeah. I mean, have coffee and feeling good at the same time.
Well, I mean, I always feel good when I have my first cup of coffee.
Yeah, but feeling good is on the weekends when you can have another cup of coffee and you don't have to go...
Anywhere.
Anywhere, exactly.
Oh, I look forward to the day.
So anyways, I brought you... a nice little book, which I picked up at The Unlikely Story in Plainville.
I love that bookstore.
If anybody's been there, it's more than a bookstore.
It is.
It's a multifunction place. It has a very good cafe, has a beer and wine license there, has a function room upstairs, which anybody can rent, to the public. You can have birthday parties or the Rotary. The Attleboro Rotary just had their Christmas party up there.
No kidding.
Yeah, so it's very nice. But anyways, and you're right, Elaine, they do sell books. And I picked up this book, this little book, and it's small, comparatively small to other books because it's on a small state, Rhode Island. And
yay.
It has 101 things to do in Rhode Island. And... I know there's a lot of people out there saying, geez, I don't think there's probably more than 5 things to do in Rhode Island. But yes, there's tons of things to do in Rhode Island, and this is just a small sampling. So, Elaine, I'm going to let you borrow this.
Okay.
And since you're a Rhode Island native, even though you don't live in the state, but you do work in the state.
I do.
Your family is a good part of that state. And I made a list of this stuff. What I've done out of these 100 things to do in Rhode Island.
Okay.
And I think I did 48.
Wow.
Places in Rhode Island.
Did
and I know
you?
That you can beat me that because you growing up in Rhode Island, it'll bring back a lot of memories
of
stuff to do in Rhode Island.
All right, I'll
so
borrow
it. So that's your
it.
Homework assignment.
So I have to go through the 101 and see how many I've done.
Right. Yeah.
And then I'll return the book. You want me to give it to...
Oh, Dominic.
Dominic.
Yeah,
okay.
Another Rhode Island native.
All right. I will do that.
Princeton. And you know, and I also subscribe to Rhode Island Monthly, which is a very good periodical.
It is.
And a lot of stuff to do in Rhode Island. And the publisher mentioned things that have either gone by of family businesses, regional family businesses out of Rhode Island that have died. And... He said that the ones that he was thinking of began with the letter A. 3 businesses in Rhode Island that began with the letter A that are no longer around, and one of them is still around, but in a watered-down fashion, and that's Ann and Hope.
Oh, Ann and Hope. I was thinking department. Almax myself. But
Almax is the other one.
Oh,
very good. You can tell the lanes from Rhode Island.
How about Apex?
That's and the other one is Apex. You're
it's
right.
Watered down, though, too.
Yeah. Those are three of the places. Yeah, Almax, Apex, and Ann and Hope that were really institutions.
Oh, my God. Ann and Hope. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Or the mill, as they called it. A lot of people called it. We're going to the mill today, which was Ann and Hope.
That's right.
So, anyway. Yeah. And I'm sure you have fond memories.
Jolly Charlie's?
That was North Attleboro.
Yeah, that's not here.
Oh, you're talking just Rhode Island. No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I
businesses
remember, like,
that
going
were based in Rhode Island.
Oh, Rhode Island, I mean, just Rhode Island.
Yeah, Charlie was
yes.
Rhode Island. I forgot Charlie's last name.
What?
Charlie, who owned Jolly Charlie's.
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Charlie. Yeah, and there's a
but
book.
I remember coming from West Warwick to
Jolly's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, we used to hang out there as teenagers.
Really?
Go up to Jolly Charlie's or.
Yeah.
Or at the Hop, which was at the VFW in North Attleboro, or the Golden Q, which was a pool room, all in that area.
No kidding.
Up in North Attleboro.
Wow.
But we're getting off base here.
Days going by.
Let's get back to Rhode Island.
To Rhode Island, yes. Yeah, so. Okay, yes.
And you know, the other place I was thinking, I stopped there once, and I don't know if it's still around, Custy's, which was a place a
huge buffet.
Yes, a buffet. Is that still around?
No, but I do remember going there. You're right. And the Nordic Lodge has taken that over.
That's still, yes.
Yes, my brother goes every year. You pay, I think it's like insane amount of money, like $90 for like 3 hours. And you go in and it's a full buffet of anything and everything.
Lobster, everything.
Yeah, and unbelievable amount of everything. You can just gorge yourself in all kinds of stuff. But then after that time frame, you got to leave. And, yeah, he starves himself for a day or two. I said, you're crazy. But he and about nine guys, they all go and they eat. They can. I mean, for me, like, I go to brunch at Chapel Grill. I like it in Cranston. I think it's 1049. I'm yet to go there.
That's in the book.
Oh, Ben.
Chapel Grill.
Okay, been there many times. Yeah. But, yeah, I'd love to go there.
And the other places that are long gone is the Warwick Musical Tent.
My God.
Of course, the Rocky Point.
Yep.
I know.
Yeah, that's, you know, what the
Rocky Point.
What was it, the Shore Hall? No, the Hall.
Shore Dinner Hall.
Yeah.
Shore Dinner Hall,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shore
and Dinner that was, Hall. I mean, that was a meal in itself.
Everything. I used to go there. My dad used to have a boat at Oakland Beach. And we'd get up there and we'd go to Rocky Point. We'd offload us and we would. Now, that's back in the day where you could let your kids run through the amusement park with no problem. And then we would go and we'd eat and then we'd go back out and then we'd go on the boat and we'd sleep overnight on the boat. I have such great memories of Rocky Point. That was is just so phenomenal.
That was my first date with my wife.
Really? Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. Yes,
we both worked for TI and TI had their outings there. And TI was a big corporation. You know, they had about 5,000 to 6,000 employees.
People, yeah.
And it was a family day, so, you know, feasibly there'd probably be 20,000 people.
What? There.
Yes, because, you know, with the families and all that.
Wow.
And they, the park would be closed, and it was only TI
employees out
there.
Right. Wow.
And that was in July of 1969.
Wow.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Going back some years.
Mm-mm-mm.
Anyways.
Wow.
Yeah, Rhode Island is a great state, that's for sure.
Small, compact state with plenty to do.
That's me.
And it has everything from oceans to cities to mansions.
Yeah.
You know.
It's got everything.
Not the, what was that commercial that they came out with early last year that showed pictures of
Iceland?
What? Yes.
Drier, warmer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's such a bad commercial.
Yeah.
And they didn't go local, you know, and they got slammed for that. And and that's shame on them. I mean, that was just a terrible boondoggle.
I like the promotion they did in the 70s. Remember when they did, we're the greatest, biggest state in the
Union.
Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Come and see. They should have just kept that.
Yep. I think that... That was just really phenomenal. Well, I think, like, you know, new governors, they have new ideas, and they want to, I mean, I think that, you know, to develop tourism, I mean, Newport is like one of the best, and Providence. But you know what brings people into, quite frankly, is the movie industry has started to come into Providence and Rhode Island. The Farley Brothers, you know, with Dumb and Dumber and all those films.
Right.
Bleed for This, Vinnie Paz was the last movie shot here. You know, so the movie industry is getting a good tax incentives to come into the city.
How about the Providence TV show? Remember that one?
I do remember the Providence TV show. Yeah, and Buddy Cianci was a frequent guest on that show. And then the Brotherhood with Showtime series. I lived on Broadway, not in New York, but in Providence. And the movie trucks were right there in front of my apartment building. And a lot of times I have to bang on the door and ask the makeup trailer to move because I can't get out of my driveway. But yeah, they shot that there too. And I think that a lot of people who have never really experienced Rhode Island came in and looked at it and just said, wow, it's really a great buy, and it's beautiful in the summertime. Our seasons are just so phenomenal.
I still think the biggest attraction in Rhode Island are the beaches, not only to go swimming or sunbathing or to relax, but everything involved with the beaches, whether it's fishing or surfing or anything like that. And, of course, the biggest attraction I still consider Rhode Island, and they're well-known, are their top-notch food, their restaurants. There's so many restaurants in Rhode Island and such a variety. Of course, the majority is Italian style food, but their restaurants are the biggest attraction in Rhode Island.
Well said. Yeah. What about New York System hot dogs? I mean, I grew up on those things. Can't have them anymore, but I did.
Stop at the Haven Brothers? Or?
I love Haven Brothers, too. After a night out and about, you go down there and you meet everybody. You could sit down on the Capitol steps and you could meet so many different people from...
It's in there.
Okay. All right. Yes. Yes, I've done that many times.
So.
Sometimes
I didn't mean to take much of your show up with this.
You're my
little state of Rhode Island.
Little Rhode Island. Okay, we're in Massachusetts. Well, anyway, we just got a few seconds left before we have to take a break, and then Jim Corbin will be on to talk about the weather and what's going on, and then we want to pay tribute our last half of talking about what's going on with Martin Luther King activities in our area. And we have a couple of fundraising events, too. So we come back on the flip side. If I have time, I'll read three of them. And then we'll go out to Jim Corbin when he calls in. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Good morning. This is Elaine the Roach. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Memorial Hospital is offering a free new moms group for women with babies between the ages of 2 weeks and 12 months. Participants have the opportunity to talk about their growing babies, discuss concerns and expectations, and learn different tips from mothers in the group. The group meets every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. in the Michael J. Poisson Education Center, located near the main lobby of the hospital. For more information or to register, you can call Nursing Administration at 508-236-7151. Falls AC, 8 Stack Road in North Attleboro, supports high school sports in our community at every level. Opened in 1983, owner Angelo Cavalieri is proud of their 33 years of service to the Attleboros. Falls AC is open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. They have lunch and dinner daily, banquet rooms for your meeting or get-together, and dart leagues. The entire staff at Falls AC wishes the high school athletes the best of luck in every game. Falls AC, 8 Stack Road, North Attleboro, 508-695-2688.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. And they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
AACS 15 is your home for Attleboro High School sports. This week, we'll be playing our first Attleboro hockey game of the season. The Attleboro Bombardiers battle the Clockers of Ashland High School at the brand new ice rink at the New England Sports Village. You can watch the game on AACS Channel 15 or in high definition on AACS.com, the AACS Roku app, or the AACS mobile app.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. Before Jim Corbin calls in, I've got a couple of Out and About activities that are worth mentioning. So Moonlight Wine, Beer, and Food Gala is going to be Saturday, January 28th at 7 p.m. at Briggs Nursery on Kelly Boulevard in North Attleboro. It's New Hope's fantastic greenhouse event. They turn Briggs Nursery into a starlit pavilion. You can enjoy sampling of the finest wines, craft beers, and delicious food provided by some of the finest establishments. They have a lottery, a raffle, silent auction, a 50-50 raffle, and live music. And all proceeds go to New Hope. Tickets are only $50. Please call them for ticket information at 508-226-4015. And Tony, do you have something?
Oh, yes. It's called Come Love the Oldies. It's a fundraiser for the Food Pantry Assistance, and it's going to be held on Friday, February 10th of 2017 at the Attleboro Elks right here in Attleboro on 887 South Main Street. There'll be numerous groups, and for tickets, you can call Pat at 508-509-5400, and all the profits from these groups that will be playing that night will be donated to Outreach to purchase high-protein food for our local food pantries. Each dollar purchases 4 servings. So that sounds like a fun night, dancing to the oldies with these particular groups. And, of course, it's for a good cause. So
it sure is.
Mark it on your calendar. Mm-hmm. February 10th, 2017. It's from 7 to 11 at the Attleboro Elks, right here in Attleboro on South Main Street.
Well said. Thank you. And then one more. Attleboro Winter Night Festival in downtown Attleboro, Saturday, February 25th, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's a great fun-filled event. It's free admission. Bring the kids down. They have fire jugglers, craft fairs, art exhibits, live music, ice sculptures, which are amazing. They have hay rides. They have train rides. They have jewelry. They have a food court, hot beverages, raffles, and a grand bonfire. Oh, my God, this is one of the best events ever, and it's free. I always like to give you an option when you have some wonderful things to do in the Attleboro area on Saturday, February 25th. And then we have to do the lotteries because we've been running late, and it's
That's
just really
a fault.
No, it's not your fault. Mass Cash, 1, 3, 9, 11, 24. The Mega Millions is 10, 44, 58, 74, 75. The Mega Ball is 11, and the Mega Plier is 3. Mass Daily is 6, 6, 7, 1, and the Rhode Island Daily number is 1019. So there you go, and we're waiting for Jim Corbin to call us and find out about our super-duper fantastic weather, which is going to be sunny and bright and 80 degrees. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's about June's weather.
Yeah, last Saturday it wasn't good weather, was it? Remember?
No, I know.
Yeah,
I went into a cooking frenzy, though. I made chili and stuffed cabbage, goumkis, they call it, with hamburg rice. I mean, I made a whole bunch of food, and I just stayed in. It was just too cold to go out.
I'm a little mad at Jim because of the weather last Saturday, but he redeemed himself because 2 days later it was gone.
Well, he'll have lots to say, I am sure. Good morning, Jim. How are you today?
Good morning, Elaine and Mike and Tony. Happy Saturday the 14th. We made it through Friday the 13th yesterday.
Yes, we did.
That's right. Yeah.
By the way, the next Friday the 13th is in October.
No kidding.
So we got to wait. 9 months to worry about climbing, going into ladders and things like that.
Well, let's make it a long wait, especially with summer.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you, we've got some really. If you didn't like last Saturday, we were eyeing the approach of that snowfall, which dumped many inches of snow. But again, it had as we talked about, it really didn't have a lot of water in it, so it was easily moved around. And now it's gone outside of, you know, remaining little piles here and there. And I don't see any, and I know most of you are going to like this, I don't see for at least the next 10 days to 2 weeks any threat of snow of any consequence. Maybe a dust here and there. Yeah, the clapping goes on. Yeah. But anyway, but we've got really fine weather this weekend. Again, not mild like the other day, but it's going to be right around 30, 31 today with sunny skies and just a few wispy clouds late this afternoon. Now, of course, if you're out and about, as about 70,000 people will be up at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, it's going to be cold, but very little wind at all. Mid-20s at game time, dry conditions, no issues with precipitation, certainly. And if you have any other plans this evening, Saturday, out and about, it looks pretty good. Then tomorrow, more of the same, mostly sunny, mid to upper 30s, which is just about where we should be for this time of the year. In fact, the temperature right around the greater Attleboro area is right around 19, 20, 21 degrees right now, and that's pretty typical for this time of the year. It's nothing too extreme either way. Then on Monday, it's more of the same. How about this? Mostly sunny, highs near 40 on Monday. After starting out a little chilly in the morning in the teens, and then Tuesday we'll have sunshine, then clouds increasing, and the next chance of precipitation is not until Tuesday night, and especially Wednesday, and guess what precipitation type that will be?
Snow! It'll be snow!
Better be rain!
Tony's right.
Oh, good!
It's going to be raining instead of snow?
It's going to be rain. It's going to be rain, so again, if you didn't like last weekend's weather with windy conditions, snow, and cold temperatures, this is the weather pattern for you. Now, you might hear about over the next couple of days a major ice storm going on in the middle of the country. Mm-hmm. That same weather system, the front end of it, is the one that we've been watching, thinking we might get some snow for the Patriots game tonight. It looks like it's going to slide south. However, not out of the question, there will be some light snow right along the south coast this evening. So if you're going to be down, say, in Newport or New Bedford, those are the areas that could get a dusting of snow tonight. We'll be right on the northern edge in Attleboro and even Providence, maybe a few flurries over towards Taunton, maybe a stray flake or two, probably not making it to the game. So that's the way it looks right now. The bottom line is I don't see, again, any significant extremes of either cold or any significant snow for 10 days to 2 weeks. So it's kind of short and sweet.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Or are we going to have just a dry winter?
Well, a lot of times we get, if we get this type of winter, we sometimes get hammered with cold and snow, especially the snow if it's late in the season, like in March. And I mentioned this with the Dom yesterday morning. I think we're probably going to get our biggest snowstorm this year in March. That would be my wild guess. So, again, but right now, here we are in almost the midpoint of winter in terms of temperature. The coldest, on average, is January 22nd, so that's next Sunday, tomorrow. Now, that doesn't mean that's climatologically. So, in other words, if you look at the temperature average through the year, July 22nd is the hottest point and the peak of summer in terms of temperature now. And then January 22nd is the bottom out, the pit as winter, as I like to call it.
You
and
know,
so,
Jim.
But we don't have any bitter cold to worry about.
You know, Jim, and on the plus side, here we are in mid-January. The days are getting longer. February's coming up, shortest month of the year. So, we're getting through it all right.
That's it. Yeah, I've said this to you and others in the past. November and December, outside of the holidays, are the two worst months of the year weather-wise. They're gloomy, typically, and the days are real short, and psychologically it can be tough. Now, in January and February, we usually get more snow, but we also get a lot of sunny days in between, and that's exactly what we're in now. I mean, yesterday wasn't bad. Today the sun will shine. Tomorrow the sun is going to shine. Monday the sun is going to shine. Tuesday, the sun is going to shine at least in the morning with increasing clouds. And then after the midweek rain event, it looks like I'd say later Thursday the sun is going to shine. Friday the sun is going to shine. A week from today, Saturday, the sun will probably shine. And as you said, Tony, the days continue to get longer, not real fast, but about a minute or so a day, we're increasing the daylight. And I'm sure you have now noticed in the last few days the late afternoons a little brighter. As I always say, if you do the same thing in the late afternoon this time of the year, you can notice that it is a little brighter, depending on if you're, say, leaving work at 5 o'clock, or maybe you leave at 4:30 or 5:30 or 6, or whatever you do. And same thing in the morning now. We're going to start to notice that. So In talking about this, and Elaine, you were talking about the daylight savings thing.
Yeah, I was looking at, like, I noticed the same thing when I get out of work at 5 or 5:30. It's starting to get much more lighter, and it's
a little more light.
It's
yeah.
so well, nice. Day, yeah.
The daylight savings issue in Massachusetts, and I agree, and I think Mike had brought it up too, though, that it, you know, if you, Massachusetts makes a change, Rhode Island, like if you're right on the border, you have different times of things. But it's all in the clock, really. It's when we say we lose an hour of whatever or gain an hour, and we go back and forth to daylight savings, we're not losing it. We're just rearranging the time it happens. So this issue, the big issue with the daylight savings, and I would be for it if it was for the entire United States.
Right.
Because more people do more things. I've said this for 40 years talking about it. People do more things in the late afternoon and evening than they do in the morning. So all you'd have to do is, if you want to keep daylight savings, fine. Because in other words, think about it. If we had, we were on, still on daylight savings right now. Here we are on January, what is it, 14th? Yeah, the day after the 13th. if we had daylight savings right now, we'd have, the sun would be going down about 5:45. Now, that's not bad. You say, well, yeah, but you'll lose it in the morning. Well, then just rearrange when you do things in the morning. In other words, that was the big worry. It's always been the big worry. Kids in the dark at, you know, going to school. That's really the main reason why daylight savings is a big issue. That's the biggest issue. All you have to do is, if you want to do that, for a portion of the year, just have the day of the time that school starts an hour later. So have, in other words, if today we had daylight savings still going on, and so-and-so school in Attleboro or Providence starts at, 7:30, well, then have it start at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll still be able to get the benefit of the light in the late afternoon when people are maybe doing supper, the street lights aren't coming on, you're in your house maybe, you know how this time of the year, you get home and it's, you know, from work, and you have to turn the lights on in the late afternoon. Well, why not just rearrange the time that things happen and not worry about, worry about the clock. So I would be in favor of having daylight savings year-round, and if there's issues in the morning, just change the time. It's almost like changing the time of a meeting. Say, we can't have that meeting at 12 o'clock. We got to have it at 1 because so-and-so is happening. Same thing with like, school or even work. You know, if we do that, it's going to be dark at work for the first hour. Well, then start work later.
But that is, Jim, if it's done on a national level. But if it's done just in Massachusetts, and since we live near the Rhode Island border, it create confusion. And the same thing for our neighbors, the Rhode Island, Connecticut, it would confuse, create confusion.
Well, that's it. That's why I agree, Tony, that it should be done either all states or no states. But think about it. It still is not like a major issue. If you know it, and you're driving down Route 95 from Attleboro, and it's 7:30, and you know that it's, when you go into Providence or Pawtucket, it's back to 6:30. I mean, it's not that much of a rocket science to know that. If you know, let's say you're in Attleboro and it's 7:30. You do this daylight savings thing. They pass this thing. It's 7:30 in the morning, and you have to drive to Providence for your work, and you have a meeting. Well, you have the meeting. You still know it's 6:30 currently in Providence, even though it's 7:30 in Attleboro, and you know the meeting is at 6:30. So, you just say, well, okay, I'm leaving here from, Attleboro at 7:30, and I'm driving across the line into Pawtucket, and my job, my meeting, early morning meeting in Providence is at 6:30. I mean, it's not that difficult.
Right.
I mean, it's you talk about oil trains and planes and things. It's still, with all the modern technology we have, everything changing, our computers automatically change their times, it wouldn't be all that difficult to me.
True. Well said, my friend. I got to stop you there because I got to take a break. But no. Thank you for the weather update. I really appreciate you as always, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Bye, Jim.
All right, take care.
Enjoy the warmth.
Yes,
we will.
You.
All right, there goes Jim Corbin. We've got a mixed bag, but it seems to be very mild, so that's a good thing. I did want to mention one more thing before we break and come back for our last segment. Dr., I know there's a lot of activities in the area, but one of them is Monday, January 16th at 1 p.m. at the Municipal Program in Attleboro City Hall. And at 2 o'clock, an interfaith service will be at the Zion Church on Broad Street in North Attleboro. So those are two of the things that are celebrating the 30th annual celebration of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. for the holiday. We're going to take our last break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back to wrap up our show.
The Chaminade Music Club will be having a pipe organ concert at the Murray Universalist Church on February 19th at 2 o'clock p.m. The concert will feature several musicians, including organists Janice Waterman and David Burnham, soprano Sarah Michael Smith, and baritone Gary Thies. Organists will be playing Murray Universalist Church's 1882 Hook and Hastings pipe organ. This concert is free and open to the public and will be followed by a reception. For more information about this concert and future Chaminade Music Club performances, visit chaminademusicclub.org.
Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, is the result of one family's journey to find answers for their autistic child. Founded by a small group of parents in 1971, Amigo has grown to include more than 30 residential homes, a fully accredited school, and applied behavioral analysis in homes, schools, and daycares. Amigo touches the lives of over 300 families in Massachusetts, offering services and programs for both children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other developmental disabilities. For more information, please visit their website at www.amigoinc.org.
You sit down at your table, you get your card. 25 squares hold the key. Which one will it be? I-25, O-72, or Lucky B-13? Which one will be the square that makes you jump up and shout,
Bingo!
The Attleboro Elks Lodge, 1014, hosts Bingo each Sunday at 887 South Main Street. Open to the public, the kitchen opens at 5 p.m. with a variety of food available. Bingo starts at 6 p.m. Prizes are awarded and proceeds support Elks charities. For further details, you can visit AttleboroElks.org or you can call 508-222-5502. Remember, Elks care, Elks share.
AACS 15 is your home for Attleboro High School sports. This week, we'll be playing our first Attleboro hockey game of the season. The Attleboro Bombardiers battle the Clockers of Ashland High School at the brand new ice rink at the New England Sports Village. You can watch the game on AACS Channel 15 or in high definition on AACS.com, the AACS Roku app, or the AACS mobile app.
Okay, everyone, I just love this song. This is just a fantastic, poignant. I get chills hearing this song today, and I hadn't heard it in a while by Dion, and it's so true as we pay tribute to three men. And I had to explain to Mike this morning who's Abraham, Martin, and John, and Bobby, because Dion added Bobby too. So Abraham Lincoln, right?
Yeah, I knew the other two.
Okay. Good.
And I was surprised they did add Bobby in there.
I hadn't heard that song in many, many years, yeah. So I was glad that they added Bobby, too. And that's just to pay tribute to all the great men here who were assassinated in our country, in our time. And just very sad. Martin Luther King, it's a holiday, but it's also a remembrance, too, of the man and what he stood for. But I did want to give you the holiday schedule, what is closed and open. So what is closed is, because it's a holiday, the banks and the schools and the libraries, all town and city cities are closed. Every state and federal office is closed. What is open, the stores and restaurants. GATRA bus is on a regular schedule, and so isn't the MBTA, and there will be no mail delivery on Monday. So that's just a couple of things that to stay tuned for. So Mike is going to time out something, too, because I wanted to let you hear again, if you haven't heard Martin Luther King's famous speech, I Have a Dream, and I wanted to pay respect to him, such a great man, and I wanted to close early so you will be able to enjoy this whole speech. So Mike is going to cue me when it's time for me to just wrap up. How many minutes do I have before this? I have.
Well, the speech is ready. It's 7:53 now.
Okay,
and
so
the speech is 5 minutes and 17 seconds.
So I have
seconds.
Like 2 minutes?
Yeah.
All right, so I have 2 minutes left. All right, so Tony, well, I'm just going to say thank you for coming in so early.
My pleasure.
And stop banging the darn cab. he's banging the cab. Oh, don't do that, please. That goes right in my ear. Oh,
I
my God.
Back from back here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm deaf now. Oh, my God. Anyway, folks, I'd just like to thank you so very much for listening to Out and About with Elaine. I put a lot of effort and time into the show because I truly love doing it, and I love the fact that you guys have private message me or call me later and said great show, but however, we would love to have you call in at some other point. Anyway, in closing, I just want to remind you that Dominic Cotoia will be back on Monday from 6 a.m. to 9, followed by Paul Healy from 9 to noon. My show, Out and About with Elaine, will be on Saturday on 7 a.m. to 8, and Dave Kane will follow from 9 to noon. So from all of us here at WARA 1320, thanks for listening to our show, and meet me back here next Saturday for another really great show of Out and About with Elaine, and we'll leave you with I Have a Dream from Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Yeah.